This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, did the epistle lesson make you just a little bit uncomfortable? It might for a lot of Lutherans. Especially these words, because Christ also suffered for you, well, that part we're fine with, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. That part makes us a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? And the reason is because for the last number of decades, our church, the Lutheran Church, has been struggling with something called antinomianism. That's a fancy way of saying being against the law. We talk about justification by faith and grace and Christ alone. But we get nervous when it says, and that means you ought to actually live like a Christian should live, that you ought to do what Christians do. We've been afraid to say that part for a while. But St. Peter's not afraid to say it. He said it very clearly in this epistle lesson. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. Well, what's the example? What's the this that we've been called to? To understand that, we have to look at the entirety of the book of 1 Peter, including what he said earlier, before this point in the epistle lesson. And actually, the this that you've been called to is quite a lot. It refers to lots and lots of things. You go home, read the entire book of 1 Peter, and you'll see that. He starts with this: refrain from the passions of the flesh. You know, passions of the flesh, the things you want to do that are wrong. Things that are sexually immoral, things that are building anger within you, hatred, rage, selfishness, bitterness, the things your sinful desires want to do, you should refrain from. Instead, Peter says, keep your conduct honorable. Do what is right. To this you were called. What else? Peter next says, be subject to every human institution, whether the governor or the emperor, and in American talk that means local or national governments. Be subject to them. Speak well of your rulers. Boy, that's a hard thing to do in an election year, isn't it? No, Peter isn't saying that you should submit to them where they are opposed to God's word, but you submit to them in every other way. If the United States asked you to sacrifice a chicken to the deified George Washington, you should not do that. But when the government asks you to do things that are right, you do them. When the government suppresses things that are wrong, you're glad. Obey the speed limit. Pay your taxes. Speak respectfully about your elected officials. That one needs to be said twice, doesn't it? Even when you disagree with them. To this, you have been called. What else? Live as a people who are free. Ah, finally, something we can agree with since we live in the land of the free, right? But Peter goes on and says, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but rather using your freedom for good. That means, yes, you are free because you are a child of God, but free only to live in accord with God's word first and foremost. That means you don't say, I'm free. I'll go rob a bank today. Christ died for my sins, after all. I can do what I want to. That means you don't say, I'm free. I'm going to support this wicked and evil cause, marching in the street in support of it. Those things would be abusing your freedom, and that's not what you have been called to do. You use your freedom to be a servant of God, to do what God demands. In fact, to do even what God only suggests. To this you have been called. Next, Peter talks about servants, or again, in our American language, employees. He says, servants, be subject to your master or your boss. Speak well of them, not only when your boss is kind and gentle, but even when they're cruel and wicked, even when they make you work on a Saturday or past the end of your hours. Honor everyone, Peter says. Not just the people you like, not just the people who think the same way you do, not the people that you only agree with. Honor everyone. All. Be the person who blesses other people when you're around, not the one who drags their name through the mud, all for a good laugh, behind their back. Peter sums it all up with these words: love the brotherhood and fear God. Words that match what we pray at the end of every service of the sacrament, when we bring communion to its close, when we say that we might live in faith towards God and in fervent love towards one another. Peter says, do this. To this you have been called. This is the example Christ has laid for you. Do these things. He doesn't say maybe. He doesn't say sometimes. He doesn't say if you feel like it. He doesn't say, because it's funny on the Twitter, you can go and break these rules. He says, to this you have been called. In other words, this is now your identity. You follow Christ's example. We heard about it on Sunday. You are now a part of Christ's flock. He is in your midst, and you better act like it. You do good. You aren't angry. You aren't selfish. You're not the rebel without a cause against every institution that stands. You work hard at your job. You listen to your boss. You use your freedom to do what God's word teaches and demands. You are a Christian. That's who you are. That's what you do. Because you follow Christ. And he did all these things perfectly, completely, totally. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he was suffering, he didn't threaten those who were causing his suffering. He always, Peter says, submitted himself into the hands of God, the Heavenly Father. You follow Christ, Peter says, who was the perfect example of what a Christian looks like. That's what you do. To this you have been called. Do you feel uncomfortable now? I mean, wow. Those are some high expectations. We're supposed to emulate the sinless Son of God? God will let nothing less be for us for the rest of our life. But wait, can't I have just a little bit of fun? Can't I do just a little bit of sin? Can't I have just one or two vices, you know, to keep things exciting? Aren't I forgiven? Doesn't that forgiveness make me free to do whatever my heart desires? Doesn't Disney tell me to follow my heart? No. Not you. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Not you. You follow Jesus. You are a people, Peter says, for God's own possession. And so you live like God desires. That's what God asks and demands from Christians. But, Pastor, I don't. I don't live that way. I fail. I succumb. I fall short. I capitulate. The good I want to do, I don't do it. The wicked I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. Peter knows this about you and the people to whom he writes to, because Peter knows this about himself. Think about what we heard about Peter during Holy Week in the Passion narrative. You know, he cuts off a man's ear, he denies Christ. He runs away from the soldiers. He locks himself in a room out of fear. He sins just like you and just like me. Which is why he also says this: by his wounds, you are healed. These aren't Peter's words. Peter's quoting Isaiah, who wrote those words almost 800 years before Peter wrote tonight's epistle lesson. Isaiah foresaw that Jesus would need to come, that he would be the suffering servant who would pour out his blood to forgive you your sins, your failures, your shortcomings. Isaiah foresaw the cross, the stripes across Christ's back. Isaiah foresaw the price that would have to be paid, not gold or silver, but Christ's holy precious blood, innocent suffering and death, to forgive you all your sins. Not just the sins you committed before you were a Christian, not just the sins you committed before you were baptized, the sins of your entire life, from beginning to end, Christ paid the price for. And you are placed into those hands. Your failures are washed away in the wounds of Jesus. Your wickedness and weaknesses are swallowed up by his strength. Your sins are killed in his holiness. Your old sinful nature drowns in the waters of holy baptism. Drowning doesn't happen in an instant. It takes time. Christ has to hold your sinful nature under those baptismal waters your whole life long. And it hurts as your sins drown. Your sinful nature kicks back and fights because it doesn't want to die. But when you come through the other side of those baptismal waters, when you leave this world behind, baptism now saves you, Peter also writes. Christ raises up within you a new person, born of water and the Spirit, to live before God in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, world without end. That's the person that we're talking about, your Christian nature, your saved nature. And it's alive right now, even as that old sinful nature dies. Struggle, even as you live as a Christian. You're saved by grace through faith. This is true. Even as you kick against that faith with your sin. The forgiveness of Christ doesn't erase all the things God demands for your life. Your failure to do all the things God demands in your life does not erase the grace that Christ earns for you. God saves you. And now you live as a Christian. To this you have been called. It isn't easy. You won't be perfect this side of heaven. And when you fail, you bring those failures to Christ, confessing them and being absolved. You seek to live to righteousness. Why? Because he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So we follow him, the good shepherd, who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death into eternal life, where finally all sin will be purged away, never to bother us again. Christ does this. Christ saves you. You are his child. You are his sheep, and he is your good shepherd. And so you follow his example. In the name of Jesus, amen. That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.